Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back to Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. A new study reveals that some junk foods and other highly processed foods can be just as addictive as drugs. We're joined now by one of the researchers, Dr. Alexandra DeFelice Antonio, an assistant professor in the Department of Human Nutrition, Foods and Exercise at the Freeland Biomedical Research Institute at Virginia Tech Carilion. She joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. How is junk food just as addictive as drugs?
Yeah, so if we're thinking about, you know, what makes an addictive substance, what we have are some criteria that were established in 1988 in the Surgeon General's report for nicotine. And those criteria were that it elicited compulsive use, so if you tried to stop, you couldn't. The second criteria was psychoactivity, which sounds a little strange, but it just means that the main effect is in the brain. The third criteria was that they were really reinforcing, so you would do a lot or you would risk things to be able to get them. And the final criteria was that it elicited really strong urges and cravings. And this criteria was actually kind of later and kind of an update of the science, but if you think about, you know, when you pass your favorite fast food place or you see an advertisement, you feel this really strong urge to consume those foods. And so we have evidence that kind of junk food or ultra-processed foods elicit these kind of exact same processes in people that were established in this 1988 Surgeon General's report.
Give us a definition of what an ultra-processed food is.
Yeah, so an ultra-processed food is a really actually kind of narrow definition. It comes from the NOVA scale, which is oddly enough not an acronym, but it was developed in Brazil, and it has four levels of foods. And ultra-processed foods are what are known as a NOVA 4. And what that means is that they have ingredients in them that you don't have in your home kitchen. So, you know, all that unpronounceable stuff on the back of that ingredient label. They also can be produced by processes that are not available to you. So things like really high heat or extrusion. And really my kind of shorthand is if you're in the grocery store and you're holding a crinkly package, it's probably an ultra-processed food. There are a few exceptions to that, but that's a good kind of guideline for what is an ultra-processed food versus what is not.
So when it comes to what happens in the body when we talk about these ultra-processed foods, why are they so addictive for us?
Yeah, so all addictive drugs, so every drug that has an addictive potential, increases the neurotransmitter dopamine in this chunk of brain called the striatum. It does it in some other places, but all of them do that. And if we look at things like cocaine or like amphetamine, they do that really ridiculously well. So like 3,000% of baseline, so just a really high amount. But if we look at things like nicotine or alcohol, other substances that people use in an addictive manner, it's more like, you know, 200%, 300%. And the info that we have from food is that when you taste something really sweet or you consume something really fatty, we see a similar level of this dopamine increase. And it's worth noting that for every drug of abuse, we don't know, okay, it's this much dopamine, now it's addictive, or at this dose of drug, now it's addictive. And we also don't know the same for food. So we don't know, you know, what combinations of sugars and fats or, you know, artificial sweeteners or added ingredients, you know, what exact combination makes it a substance that's addictive. So what we do know is that these foods affect the same areas of the brain as addictive substances. You know, really addictive substances work because they activate the same areas of the brain as food. And that we also see that people tend to exhibit kind of addictive-like behaviors, this inability to cut back, this inability to stop eating these foods, having these really intense cravings around ultra-processed foods rather than minimally processed foods. So they have these feelings towards things like donuts and not bananas.
Basically, what you're explaining is because these foods give us pleasure, they give our brains pleasure, that's why we can't put them down.
Yeah, so I think the use of that word pleasure is really interesting, right? So there's been kind of an interpretation of the role of dopamine in the kind of popular media as it being pleasurable. And actually everything that we know about dopamine is that it doesn't mediate pleasure. What it does, or what we, some of the things that we think it does, is it really kind of taps into motivation and or kind of a salient signal. It's that signal of like, hey, pay attention, hey, do this again. And so you can actually, and people who, you know, use addictive drugs report this, as well as people consuming some of these foods, you know, you're eating them and you might not actually be enjoying it in the moment, but you're still going to do it again because there's that really strong signal to go seek it again. That really strong craving signal.
So interesting. So I'm curious that the next obvious question is, how do we then reduce our dependence if we have gotten caught in this cycle where we are craving these kind of foods?
It's really difficult, right? And so when you're thinking about helping people stop taking an addictive substance, you tell them to avoid places and situations and people where they took that substance, right? So if you were really trying to cut down on drinking, you would probably choose, you know, not to go to the bar with your friends. But we all have to eat. And so you can't, I mean, there is no abstinence policy on food, right? We have to eat. And then also if we think about how our environment is built, it's really difficult to avoid cues for these foods. You know, they're everywhere. You know, you can't check out of the grocery store without having, you know, a whole line of ultra-processed products before you even get to the checkout counter. You know, they're advertised in places, even like the gas station. Like when you're pumping gas, there's a screen there with food cues on it. And so I think that, you know, a lot of people, when they try to stop taking these foods, try to stop eating these foods, you know, they try to avoid them, they fail. And I don't think people should really think of that as a personal failing, you know, like, oh, I lack willpower or I lack this ability. Really, the environment is stacked against them. And what we need to do is to think about, you know, how do we build an environment that helps people eat healthier, you know, that helps people kind of eat the foods and live the life that they want to live.
That's researcher Alexandra DeFelice Antonio with Virginia Tech Carilion.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.